Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. Well, the title today is The Gift of Curiosity. If you're taking notes, The Gift of Curiosity. And they say that in children, it's so important for them to be curious. It's really important for learning and for growth and for us as Christians as well. To be curious, to ask the Lord questions. This is just, it's such a gift. It's not something you can force. It's something that God has put within humanity. Let's look real quick at Proverbs 25. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs 25, verse 2. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." We are royalty, and it is our glory to search it out. You know what? I still have my parka on. Okay, all right. So maybe you're like, "I wish I had her parka." I'll just leave it on. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the glory of God is to conceal a matter. He's got mysteries. He's got some things he wants us to seek out. How many of you know that? He wants us to seek it out. It's a joy. It's like opening a present. And this is so funny. Weekends ago, I went to my sister's 40th birthday party there in Las Vegas, and one of her friends is just a sweet little young mom telling me how she's trying to reach her neighbors for the Lord. And so there's this one older gentleman who lives by himself, and she took him a present, you know, and he was like, "Oh, okay." And so she asked him later, "Did you like it?" And he was like, "Yeah." And then a few weeks later, she comes and she sees the present unwrapped on the shelf. Well, she had wrapped it so pretty, he thought it was like a decoration for the shelf. So he never opened it. And so she had to tell him, "You didn't open it." And he was like, "Oh, well, I thought that's, you know, how it was." But he never opened the present. And how many times has God given us something, a revelation? He's shown us something. We're like, "That's so beautiful, Lord." But we never dig deeper. We don't open the present. So God wants to show us things. And he's like, "Come on, open it, go deeper, see what's inside." Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. The opposite of curiosity is apathy. Who cares, right? Who cares? "Oh, that's nice in the Bible. That's great, Lord." We don't want to be apathetic. We don't want to have a "who cares" attitude. We want to be curious and hungry and digging into God's word. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's be eager to understand. Examples of people who sought understanding. There were people in the Bible who dug into God's word. One of them was Daniel. And Daniel, he had been given a vision of animals and with horns and eyes and this, you know, leopard, and it was very, he knew it was from the Lord, but he didn't just leave it there. Have you ever had a dream like, "Well, that was weird"? He dug in, and he fasted and prayed for 21 days, and the Lord showed him some amazing things that would happen in history that were played out even by Alexander the Great, and that can be found in Daniel 11. What about the disciples? They got to ask Jesus questions. Let's look at Luke 8, 9 through 11. His disciples asked him what this parable meant, the parable of the soils. Do we remember those teachings we had on Thursday mornings? The parable of the soils. They started asking questions. What does it mean? He said, verse 10, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. And he goes on. That sounds kind of mean, right? Jesus is saying, they just get to hear the parable and that's it. But they're not going to really understand it. But they could have understood it if they wanted to. They could have been a disciple of Jesus. They could have pressed in to hear and be at his feet. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to be a disciple. So we need to be like Daniel, digging in and saying, what is this? What is the meaning of this? Like the disciples saying, what is the parable? Explain it to me, Lord. What about Nicodemus? He came to Jesus at night. This was very risky for him. He was a Pharisee. He would have been rejected by the other Pharisees if they knew he was going to Jesus. And Jesus opened up some very interesting things in John chapter 3. Anybody remember what Jesus revealed to Nicodemus? He said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He shared so many important things with Nicodemus. But what did Nicodemus have to do? Go find him. Go search him out. Amen? And then what about Moses? Moses. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. I want us to think about those words, turn aside. Turn aside. We can never be too busy, ladies, to not turn aside. The Lord may be showing us some things. We hear something in a sermon, it piques our interest. Will we be like Moses and turn aside from watching the sheep and all the busyness and all the work? Turn aside and say, let me go check this out. Why the bush does not burn. Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. You see, he just put a burning bush and just kind of stood back. Didn't talk to him yet. What's Moses going to do? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. But Moses had to do his part and say, let me leave my routine and investigate. Are we catching what the Lord is saying today? Amen. Precious truths are for those who seek them. Make a note of that. Precious truths are for those who seek them. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Verses 6 and 7, it says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Have you ever tried to share something so important, so precious to someone, and they just did not care, right? And then the very next verse says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. God is saying, I don't throw my pearls before swine either. If you want something precious from me, you got to ask, you got to seek, you got to knock. Amen. He won't just be like, let me share this amazing thing with you. We got to be set that time aside and seek the Lord. All right. How do we seek wisdom and understanding? We do it with the Lord Jesus. I just want us to picture the Lord right here. He's sitting with us, and here's the word. Here's the word, and we're saying, oh, Lord, here's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Let's look at that. This is what Jesus is describing to us. Revelation 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He tells us to knock, but guess what? He's knocking. If anyone hears my voice, hey, it's me. Let me in. Let me in. I want some time with you. Give me some time. And opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is our Bible time, ladies. With who? Jesus. He's saying, let me in. Let's talk about this together. Don't just read the Bible by yourself. I think it's okay. We get the information, but there has to be times when we're saying, Lord, you know, I got some questions for you. The gift of curiosity. Let's ask questions. And what is he doing? He's going, oh, yes, yes. She's digging in. And in time, he will give us a gem and he will show us some things. He'll give us food. He'll show us something. And guess what we can do? We can share it with someone else, with our kids. Say, look at what the Lord showed me. He said that let us not, you know, be anxious in anything. We'll be able to share what we learned in our time with Jesus with others. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. And I know some of you have young kids and you're like, I wish I could spend time with the Lord. You know, every season is different. And there this too shall pass, okay? Your kids grow up and you will get some time with the Lord, but he's gonna draw you away and give you those special moments with him. Amen. Praise God. You dine on the word. You're talking it over with Jesus. And I just have to say this. He says, Jesus says, I will dine with him. And then he says, and he with me. I will dine with him, and he will dine with me. What? Why would he say that? There is no accidents. There's no like, oh, just toss that in. So I was just thinking about this. If I invite Pastors Jim and Debbie to come to my house to dine with me, I provide the food, right? But if they invite me to dine with them, they'll provide the food. It'll be a little different. It'll be probably a little better, I would think, okay? So I'm not like the greatest cook in the world, you know what I'm saying? But it'll be different. So when Jesus says, I want to dine with you, we say, okay, Lord, here's what's on my reading plan today. We're reading through the book of John. So now we're at John chapter 10, blah, blah, blah. You just keep talking to the Lord about where you are. You provide the meal. But there's going to be times when the Lord is going to say, come with me. Come with me to my heavenly realms. And he's going to say, here's what I want to talk about. And he's going to be the one to bring the word to your mind. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you want that? It's going to be so awesome. So I just love, love, love spending time with the Lord. Okay, if I dine with someone, I get closer to them. Have you noticed that? That's really the whole point of this. You know, I was just brought back to the Garden of Eden when they would walk in the evening together. They would talk together. The Lord was teaching Adam, showing him some things. But really, the whole point was just to get closer to each other. So beautiful. The knowledge of God is the final goal. Intimacy with him, getting to know him. All right, here's something interesting. God puts out bait. He puts out things to see if we will notice. Let's look at this in the Word of God. We already talked about Moses and the burning bush. He just left that there like, is he going to notice? What's he going to do? How many times has the Lord done that with us? Just the most gorgeous sunrise or sunset. He's like, oh, is she going to notice? Oh, all right. Let's look at something else. What about the Samaritan woman? She comes to the well, John chapter 4, verse 10. Let's see what Jesus does with this beautiful lady. Jesus answered and said to her, he had asked her for a drink, and she was like sassy, right? He said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water. You see how he's just baiting her like, If you knew who was talking to you, and if you knew the water, he is totally trying to pique her interest. She could have so easily just been like, oh, you're a freak. I'm gone. Okay? And it would not have ended up in the Bible. She was willing to just talk. She had questions, didn't she? She was like, how come you guys worship in Jerusalem? This is how we must be. Let's bring our questions. If the Samaritan woman can do it, we can do this with him. Dialogue back and forth. Amen. Let's look at the disciples. God put some things out before the disciples. He's like putting, like saying things like, come on, ask me about this. All right. Let's look at John 16:5. Here's Jesus, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? He has been talking about so many things from chapter 14, chapter 15, here it is, chapter 16. He keeps talking about heaven. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to the Father, and he's trying to, like, get them to say, tell us about where you're going. And he says, none of you ask me. How many of us today would the Lord say, you still haven't asked me? Remember that scripture that I was highlighting? you still haven't asked me. May he not say that about us. Let's ask the questions. Amen. He's trying to draw us. So this was two chapters before. Let's see what he says. John 14:3-5. Here's Jesus. And if I go and prepare a place for you, a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's trying to like paint a picture. And he wants them to ask, where is this place you're preparing? Tell us about this place you're preparing, right? Where are you going? Tell us about this. This is so, so important. They really needed to know about this place that he was preparing for them, because they were about to go through the hardest time of their life that very night. They needed, and he said in chapter 14, I don't know if it's in my notes. Let me see. No. Chapter 14 starts out with him saying, do not let your heart be troubled. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. And he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. They're about to go through their leader getting tortured and killed right in front of their eyes. One of their dearest friends betraying them. Their lives in danger. Their whole world is about to go crazy. And he's saying, do not let your heart be troubled. But the solution was heaven. My Father has many mansions for you. This was to be the source of comfort for them and for us, actually. If you really do a study on this, our hope is that we have a place prepared for us in heaven. We don't experience a lot of persecution, but if and when persecution comes, this will be so important, this topic of having a heavenly home and being with Jesus. That's why he talked about it so much, and he kept trying to get the disciples to get interested in this heavenly home. And he finally had to say, no one's asking. He says, we just read it. None of you asks me, where are you going? Do you see God's way of doing things? He's going to put things in front of us to try and catch our interest. The really important stuff. He's going to keep putting it before us so that we will go after it. Amen? So beautiful. Thank you, Lord. And then he says, okay, after he says, verse 3, that where I am, there you may also be. Then finally, for verse 4, he says, and where I go, you know. Well, they kind of didn't. And the way you know. Well, they kind of didn't, but he's trying to like poke them, like ask. And then good old Thomas, verse 5, doubting Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? So he's not really asking, right? He's just frustrated. So there Jesus is just working with his disciples and just trying to get them to really find out what's really going on. Thank you, Lord. Let me just look here. Yes, okay. I just want to move into what the Lord really wanted me to share with you today. Yes, we need to take time with the Lord. We need to be curious. Are we hearing the Lord's heart on this? And the Lord was sharing, and he said, you need to talk about anxiety because this is such a curiosity killer. And that today, we need to tackle. So this is kind of part B, okay? Part B is we're going to have to talk about a troubled heart. A troubled heart, because this will keep us from just relaxing with the Lord and asking questions. Have you ever seen a child? They're very curious, running here and looking at it. But a fearful child, they're not looking around. An anxious child is not investigating anything. They're like this. So we must clear up the issue of anxiety in our lives. Amen, ladies? Okay. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. This is Martha, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Do you remember this story? Jesus is sitting, talking about the word, teaching. Where was Mary? Right there. Was she able to ask questions with the disciples? Well, I don't know if a woman could, but she could at least You know, she was feeding on the word. The disciples were there asking their questions. It was just rich. Where was Martha? Oh my gosh, I gotta make some food. He had just multiplied loaves and fishes, right? And she thinks she has to provide food. So we have to be careful. We have to be so careful. This is a quote from a magazine called Early Childhood Today. This was the March 2001 issue. I just thought this was interesting. This is really all over the internet about the relationship, how curiosity is just so important for learning, especially for children. And how stress and anxiety can and fear can affect that. Let's look at that. It says, fear kills curiosity. When the child's world is chaotic or when he is afraid, he will not like novelty. He will seek the familiar, staying in his comfort zone, unwilling to leave and explore new things. Children impacted by war, natural disasters, family distress, or violence all have their curiosity crushed. Some of us are going through some really tough things. Some of us are concerned about some of us are concerned for our adult kids or our little kids. We're really concerned about our husbands. We're concerned, I mean, not even mentioning what's happening in society and in our world. And so anxiety has come in. Why is Jesus saying over and over, let not your heart be troubled? We can't afford to get all bound up in anxiety. Thank you, Jesus. Before we come to Jesus to study the word, we must resolve the distress we are feeling. And we learned about this when we talked about the soils. You remember the weeds that are choking out the word? The word is growing in us. We're learning. What were those weeds? They were the pleasures, but they were also the cares of the world. The cares of the world. So we have to be so cautious about the cares. We can't feed on the word and meditate on it with Jesus. Thank you so much. If we're too concerned, it's like coming to the dining table with Jesus. Here it is. Here's our prayer time with the Lord. And we're like, oh Lord, I'm just my son, Lord, my son. And he's going, yes, but the word. Yes, but I have this secret to show you that can change your life. It can change your perspective. So before we come to the Lord, we have to resolve the issues. How are we going to take care of the anxiety? Amen? Number one, okay? Take Jesus's yoke. Take Jesus's yoke. We are taking on too much stuff in our lives, you know. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. We have to have rest. It's so important for learning. Did you know that? We have to have a restful heart and a restful spirit in order to learn from him. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's saying, you can relax with me. You can spend time with me. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do not take responsibilities that are not from God. This is just so huge. We got to be led by the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, is this something you want me to take on? If it is not from God, it's not his yoke. His yoke is light and is easy. So we got to be careful. Don't take on too much stuff. Can we relate to what I'm saying? Amen. Take on his yoke only. We need to say, I need to be doing only what I'm supposed to be doing so that my relationship with the Lord doesn't get pushed out. Number two, pray about the problems, then trust God. This is just really such a pillar. Let's look at this scripture. I mean, this should just be like memorized, you know? Philippians 4. Verses 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So if we're here with the Lord going, oh, Lord, I just am so cute. Lord, my daughter, oh, what we need to do is take care of that and say, okay, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We say, Lord, we take it before the throne and we say, I have a request. And then I always start with praise. Let's exalt the Lord, magnify him, put him as the mountain and the problem as the little molehill. God is the big mountain. The problem is the little molehill. Okay, we got to get that first. And then we say, but I have a request. I am concerned about this. Lord, I pray for my daughter. I pray for this. Begin to bring the finances and I pray for this. And then you say, thank you. According to here, it says by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's going to have to come a peace. You've got to come to a place of peace. We say, we brought our requests. Did God hear them? Did God hear what you just asked for? Then thank him. Say, thank you that you hear my prayers. Thank you, Lord God, that when I pray your will in your name, you are already working on it. We've got to come to a place of peace and then just put that on the altar. You know what that means? Abraham put Isaac on the altar that he loved so much. He loved his son and was willing to give him to the Lord. We've got to put our stuff on the altar, probably like at least once a day. Maybe multiple times, and just say, I'm putting this before you, Lord. You made a note of my requests. Do you know he has them all recorded? We probably forgot what we prayed about, and he has it all. He still has those things recorded. He really cherishes and values our prayers. And then we leave it there, and we come to a place of peace. And when we're in that place of peace, we say, Jesus, come right on in. Come into my heart. Let's spend some time together. I have some things I'm chewing on, Lord. I've been reading in whatever. I do follow a reading plan. Open your reading plan. What's on the docket? We have one for our church in the back of our church magazine. I believe it's in the church app as well. So you just begin to talk to the Lord about what you're reading. Amen? So good. Number 3. Take time with the Lord and the Word. And we just have been talking about this whole time. Whenever you get into the Bible, read it with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. Amen? Ask questions. Meditate on the Word. Meditate in Hebrew means you mumble it under your breath. So you're cleaning the house and you're like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you're my shepherd. You're thinking about it. He's my shepherd. He's taking care of me. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. You're cleaning, you're vacuuming, whatever you need to do. But you're talking about the word of God. Or you might be sitting still. Sitting still is great too. I'm just saying it can happen at any time. Thank you, Lord. Has the Lord been highlighting some things to you in the word? You need to take notice, and he's just waiting for you. He's like this. Is she going to open the present? We can't be like the neighbor who just put it on the shelf because it looked kind of pretty. Let's open it. What's inside? What is this? You know, new coffee maker? Who knows? And then mix everything with thanksgiving. Let's end with this. I am amazed because we're ending just a little early. I'm like, wow. But I think the Lord is so wise. He's going to just minister to our hearts here. Let's look at Proverbs 2. It's just one of my favorite passages, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. Anybody ever cried out like literally? Literally like, God, I have to understand this. And lift up your voice for understanding. My kids have actually heard me say, oh, Lord Jesus, please show me what to do right now. If you seek her as silver. Has anyone seen those shows about treasure hunting? very interesting what they go through, right? They will travel to the furthest country. If their equipment breaks down, they will have it shipped in. I mean, the things they go through. Seek understanding and discernment. Seek it as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. I want to just mention briefly, I didn't have time to talk about some of our tools, a concordance. A concordance will tell you where all the verses are with that particular word. You do a study on faith, it'll give you the list of every verse on faith. Concordance, a Bible dictionary, or a regular English dictionary, so you can look up certain words. What are some other tools? My mind is going blank. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me, enlighten me. I think a great tool is our preaching archives. Yeah, yes. A topical, Knave's topical is a great one. These are our tools for us to dig in. I love an interlinear Bible. If you can find anything interlinear, it means it has the Hebrew or the Greek and the exact word in English, word for word, right there. And Hebrew will read backwards, so you got to read the English backwards. It's just interesting. It's like, wow. You just chew on it. You go deeper. These are some of the tools of the trade. And, of course, teachers. Again, like I was saying, our archives of messages. If anxiety is something that you're really dealing with or someone you know, do a search. Look through some of the messages, you know, and just say, Lord, I need teachers. Let me encourage you as well. If the Lord is speaking something fresh to you, take it to a leader and say, I feel the Lord is sharing this with me. Am I off? Is this just me? Is this weird? You know, take it to your table leader. Take it to one of the leaders here at Women Rock. You can take some of these things to a leader and just make sure that you're actually hearing from the Lord. And it's just a good safeguard, but you will grow in the Lord. He says, my sheep hear my voice in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. All right, verse number 5. Okay, when we do all this seeking and studying, look at this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, I am really interested in lately. This is just like a juicy, meaty steak. I just can't wait to dig into the fear of the Lord. It's just so huge, so, so huge. And find the knowledge of God. If we ever wanted to know God, this is how to do it. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He will just speak to you. He's faithful. He's faithful. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he what? Rewards those who seek him. You have to believe. He will reward you. If you seek him, it's just so foundational. This is Christianity 101. Believe that he will reward you if you seek him. Amen. Seek him and he will give you some amazing things. Praise God. Is God speaking to you today? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I just believe he's stirring up and just saying, daughter, come, let's chew on this word. Just want to show you some things. It's going to impact our lives.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.